This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome on into the second hour of First Take. We are in the Caesar Superdome getting ready for Thursday night football between the Saints and the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton's return to the Dome. And Cullen mentioned to us, Jeff, that we were wondering the last primetime game that we were in the Caesar Superdome. And
I remember
it was
now.
Last year against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, and that game. Hopefully, this game doesn't go like that game.
Oh no.
Maybe Foster Moreau, redemption game. How about that? That's the arc I'm going to go with.
Definitely. What'll be interesting too tonight, we saw the Denver Broncos elevating two familiar names from their practice squad to the active roster.
Yeah, well, Quan Alexander and
yes.
Calvin Throckmorton.
I don't even know
if they need those guys. I think he just elevated them
just because he can.
They're not going to be on the active roster. They're going to be the two inactive players. Good for those guys. Keep them busy.
Looking at this game, the Denver Broncos coming into town with a 3-point advantage, according to odds makers. And you pointed out, obviously, the Saints dealing with a slew of injuries from the offensive line, wide receivers, their starting quarterback. Doesn't make the most folks hopeful in this game going into the matchup against the Broncos. The good thing is, at least the Broncos aren't this offensive juggernaut that's been putting up points this year. They also have a rookie quarterback who has struggled at times, but obviously he's been learning along the way.
Yeah, no, Bo Nix is Bo Nix. You know, it's funny because I've watched him play for, three different colleges. I remember watching him at Auburn, and I was like, that doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. And then I remember watching him at Oregon, and I was like, well, now he looks like an NFL quarterback, but I'm still not convinced. Now I've been watching him in Denver, and I'm like, he is an NFL quarterback, but I'm not convinced. So we'll see. You know, I think the way they use Bo on the move, kind of the same way the Saints are going to try to get Spencer Rattler on the move. You know, when you have a young quarterback, you try to get him comfortable, and I think that's how they're going to do it. I think they're going to try to give him the ball on the run, let him use his feet. And the Saints haven't handled quarterback runs particularly well. You know, and I go back to last year.
Right.
It hasn't really been a huge issue this year. You've seen the Saints struggle to get quarterbacks to the ground, but it hasn't been QB runs, you know? So we'll see how they handle that. The nice thing is you look at the Saints team, and they are not banged up on the defensive line, right? They are not banged up in the secondary. I mean, obviously you don't have Will Harris, but you have your top four corners. They're all active. You have Tyrann Mathieu. He's back after dealing with that kind of weird forearm injury last week. We'll see how they handle the safety position with Jonathan Abram and Jordan Howden. Kool-Aid is there. So you should feel confident in your defense, right? Like, we talk about all these injuries and how it's going to impact this game. It should not be the reason you struggle on defense. You should be able to lean on that group, and that's why it's been – you know, very, very frustrating to watch this defense not be the strength of your team. Because there's no excuse for it not to be. And obviously you don't have Pete Warner, but it's the NFL. You're not going to have all 11 starters every week, right? So we'll see how that goes. But, no, I need them to kind of come out and wake up a little bit and be like, no, this is kind of this fever dream of we forgot how to play football is over, and we're gonna show the Broncos, we're going to show Sean Payton that we know his offense. We know what to do against his offense. They've been practicing against it. These guys haven't been practicing against it, but the Saints defense in general, you know, the royal we have been practicing against it for 17 years. So they know what this offense likes to do. And they need to take advantage of that. DeMario Davis spent years working against this Sean Payton scheme in practice. Okay, take advantage of that. Obviously, it's different players. It's going to run a little differently with Bo Nix. But, that should be an advantage for the Saints. It's just a matter of whether they can actually make that a reality.
Looking at things with this Saints defense going up against now a quarterback that's a little bit mobile in a Bo Nix we've mentioned. DeMario Davis, though, talked about this week, how easy is it for this team to clean up tackling? One, it's a short week, obviously, and just to even get to that in in-season mode at practice, DeMario was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
I think you got to find a way to be consistent, doing all things well, not just tackling. You know, I think defensively it'll always come down to how well can you stop the run, how well can you get off the field on third down, and how can you be clean in the red zone and take the ball away. And I think we're doing a good job of taking the ball away, but we're not being as consistent in stopping the run, situational football. And so we got to find a way to do it. We've done it well at certain times. We've stopped the run extremely well, and when we do that, we have a ton of success. We've got off the field on third down. We've had very good red zone percentages at times. I think it's just finding a way to be that consistent team all the time. I think that's where our process has to be around, the high level of focus.
Consistency definitely hasn't been there. I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah, and if last week didn't exist, I would look at this Broncos roster and be like, okay, no one scares me. But, you know, who's their Sean Tucker, right? Who's their player that I have no idea? Like, he could have been starring in Rush Hour a year ago, and now it's, oh, no, that's a different guy. This isn't Friday. This is Sunday. But, man, Javonte Williams, 59 carries, 213 yards. He's averaging 3.6 yards per carry. His long run is 17. He has two fumbles, lost them both. Can you guess who the second leading rusher on the Broncos is?
Bo Nix.
It's Bo Nix.
Yes, I did look at that.
He's 180 yards on 37 carries, 4.9 average. His long is 23. Jaleel McLaughlin, 36 carries, 116 yards, 3.2 yard average. So, I mean, there's no one there that you should not be able to stop. But I would have said that against the Chiefs. I would have said that against the Bucks. They're without their top rusher. Now, the Broncos have their top rusher. He's just not particularly good.
Right.
Okay? So, can you take advantage of that, right? I'm tired of pointing to things that's like, oh, the Saints should have an advantage here. The Saints should have an advantage here. And then it does not end up being an advantage. Like, you got to actually take advantage of the things that should be on your side. And so, you know, if you can stop the run, if you can force Bo Nix to have to beat you from the pocket, I don't believe that he can do that. I genuinely don't. If you're sitting there in third and two, third and three, 10-play drives where you're just hoping to hold up in the red zone, which the Saints have been pretty good. They kind of came back down to earth last week against the Bucs, but they were the number one red zone defense going into that game. I'd have to double-check to see where they are now. But, you know, you got to get off the field. Force punts, man. Get off – like three and outs are not a thing that this Saints team – do we ever say the term three and out when we watch a Saints game? It feels like it's, like, at best, eight and out. And you get third and two, and they're running for it on fourth down. And, you know, take advantage of the situations that are on your side, right? Instead of second and seven because you missed a tackle in the backfield, make that a second and 13 so that you can get off the field. And, you know, if you can be better at that, if you can force more punts, if you can keep your defense from losing the time of possession by 20 minutes so they're gassed at the end of the game, I think you win. If you can't do that, then I think the Broncos win. I do think it is that simple.
Getting into a little bit of the Denver Broncos defense, Spencer Rattler this week talked about having to face that unit.
Really good front. They're going to show us a lot of coverages and blitzes on third down specifically. So we have to have a good plan and just be dialed in into the little details. It all comes down to the little details.
Those details for sure. And Jeff, I know you asked Rattler about the quality of cornerback play now in the NFL and adjusting to that compared to college. Here's what he said.
Everybody's good at this level. You know, the funny thing is, not funny, but same dude that was at Georgia last year picked me off in this game. So I was seeing a lot of talent, obviously, in the SEC, but this is the NFL. You know, these guys are good at every position. So you have to respect that, but also attack them. You know, you can't play scared. So we're not playing scared.
I like that clip from him saying, we're not playing scared.
Yeah, you know, I've come around on Spencer Rattler press conferences. At the beginning, I was like, hey, he doesn't say a lot. But then now I'm getting to the point of like, man, he answers the question. It only takes 30 seconds, and you move on.
And boom, I got a perfect soundbite.
yeah, and you can play it. And we played two clips in the span of a minute. but no, I did appreciate that answer. And so Tyke Smith is the defensive back that picked him off at Georgia last year. Or he was at Georgia when Spencer was at South Carolina, and he did it again in that game. And, yeah, I think that is something that, you know, Bo Nix has had to figure it out. Caleb Williams has had to figure it out. All these rookie quarterbacks that I mean, with Jaden Daniels being the exception because apparently he came into the league ready to dominate. I don't know. But, you know, I think that is a kind of a learning experience of, hey, I might have got away with this in college, but the windows are a lot smaller in the NFL. Every DB I face was the best defensive back in their conference.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, these are the stars in college. You're not taking advantage of them the way that you were taking advantage of them in college. I think that interception to Rashid Shaheed is a good example of that. Like, you know, that's a ball that, yeah, you could say it's underthrown, but, you know, it would have hit Rashid in the hands. it was underthrown because there was a defensive back there, and you needed to lead Rashid away from him to complete it. You know, in college, I don't think that DB's making that play. Zion McCollum made an incredible kind of leaping grab,
right,
where now we'll say, yeah, it was underthrown because it got intercepted. If Zion doesn't make that play, then it hits Rashid in the hands. He's running, maybe scores a touchdown. So that's kind of the difference, and that's why when you turn to a rookie, those are the type of things that you have to kind of accept and say, okay, you made the mistake, don't make it again, right? But you have to make the mistake for the first time to realize what you don't know what you don't know. So that's why this week, I think, you know, we can react to that first half that Spencer had, and I thought he was really good. But the answer of, hey, what is Spencer as an NFL quarterback? We're going to get that answer over the next several weeks as you identify, okay, this is what you did wrong, fix it. You know, if you keep making the same mistakes over and over again,
exactly,
that's when
right.
you start to say, hey, I don't know if you can hack it. But we don't know what we don't know until he goes out there this week and improves on the things that he didn't do well last week. If we see the same issues week after week after week after week, that's your answer.
There is no Chris Olave today. We know he's going through the concussion protocols still. Hopefully be ready for next week, obviously, against the Chargers. Rashid Shaheed today being put on injured reserve. Reports are it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks, so his season.
4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months, sorry, yes. Not
that's
weeks.
A big difference.
Yeah, right. He would be able to come back this season then if it was just weeks. But, yeah, definitely, obviously, disappointing there for this game, too. Your top two targets not around for a guy like Spencer Rattler, but he does have a connection with Bub Means last game that was pretty obvious. And here's what Rattler had to say this week about working with Means.
You know, I've been able to get a lot of reps with Bub since OTAs, you know, obviously coming in, same draft class, both rookies. He's really elevated in practice just with little things like blocking. You see him just flash on film to get a backside block on a backside safety, which is not an easy thing to do. And he's such a smart football IQ guy, like knows his job, knows the details, and is going to give full effort, you know, all the time. So to be able to see that, you know, another fellow rookie is good to see, and I trust Bub.
Love to hear a lot of those words there from Spencer talking about the wide receiver, obviously willing to block, smart, and then, you know, willing to learn and work with him, and just loves the energy there. Seems like a nice connection brewing, and I know you mentioned, I think it was on the podcast, the fact that you're picking him up in fantasy football for sure.
Oh, I did, and I'm starting him because I don't know where else you're going to go. You know, and that's the thing. Like, you have a quarterback who trusts that receiver.
Exactly.
He's
going
to throw to that receiver.
You know there's a connection.
And one of the things about Bub that I think is unique in the Saints wide receiver room is, you know, he's a rookie, but he's not built like a rookie. Like, you look at him, he's like, that's a guy who's physically prepared to play in the NFL. He's yoked, I think would be the word you would want to use. He's a big dude. And I appreciate his approach to the game, too. Like, I was talking to him about that. The catch I appreciated in that game the most, he only had five, but they were all big catches. And the one I appreciated was third down. Spencer broke the pocket. He's rolling to the right side of the field. Bub kind of identifies that his quarterback is in trouble, breaks off his route, finds space, catches the ball, toe tap, first down, keep a drive alive. That was not the play. That's not how it was designed. The receiver made himself available for the quarterback. The quarterback knew he was going to do that, found him, first down. It's the type of play that you're like, wow, great offense. Not really. The offense didn't work. The quarterback and the receiver and the chemistry, that's what worked. And when you talk about guys like Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, right, like what did they do better than everybody else? It's that secondary route. It's that, hey, the play broke down, but I'm going to extend and I trust you to get open. And I think that type of appreciation for each other is something that you can't really teach. You got to build it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was asking Bub about that, and I thought his like answer even, like, they practice that kind of stuff. It's not random. Like, he knows, hey, my quarterback is scrambling to the right. I need to go a certain way so that I can give him an angle to deliver the ball. And, you know, if you can do that a few times throughout a game and you can extend drives that would otherwise be dead because the play didn't work, you know, that's how you can have success off schedule. And I don't think the Saints offense has been particularly good off schedule in the Derek Carr era. I think it's either the offense works or it doesn't. So I think that's what Spencer can do that some of these other quarterbacks probably can't do as well is, you know, create something out of nothing. And when you don't have stars, you're going to have to know how to do that.
Yeah, the main star, obviously, at least he is healthy enough to play. I won't say healthy. Is Alvin Kamara, obviously,
yeah,
your main stud there. But I feel like, man, it's like his third or fourth different injury I've seen from him this season.
Well, I don't think he's got a new injury. I think he's still dealing with the hand that he was dealing with the week before.
I thought something else was listed. Hold on.
I don't believe so, but I could be wrong. He was dealing with a hip. He was dealing with a rib. He was dealing with a hand. He's playing through it. You know, he did have a couple drops last week. You have to wonder.
It is still just the hand now.
Right. They took away everything else, but it's not like those things don't still hurt.
Right.
Right. Like the rib didn't miraculously heal. But You had saw a guy with a couple drops last week. You have to wonder if maybe that hand injury played into that. Maybe Spencer needs to stop throwing it quite as hard. Not doing him any favors. But, no, you got to get Alvin involved. Kendre Miller. I want to see him have an impact on this game. We'll see if he's active. I hope he's active.
It's a big X factor, I think.
I would be very frustrated if he wasn't active.
For sure.
But we'll see.